Hey everyone, welcome back to the Period Chats podcast. Today we are having a very real conversation about health. It's something that's been on my mind and I really want to share it with you guys. And so I want to bring my friend Callie on. She's been on in the past to talk about cycle syncing, your workout. We're going to be talking more about how to keep it real when it comes to health. Callie, introduce yourself. Tell us all about your sweaty Pilates classes, your amazing platform that you have. What's going on in your life?
Thanks for having me back. I'm so pumped to be talking with you again. Okay, so a little bit about me. My name is Callie. I live in South Florida. I have a Pilates studio. It's online. So I have a virtual Pilates studio. It's an app website called Sweaty Studio. I'm currently 18 weeks pregnant when we're recording this. I also love all things balance too. So I had a whole phase of my life where I was very restrictive, definitely felt like I had to be perfect, especially as a fitness instructor. I was a holistic health coach for a bit as well. And I felt during that phase, I had to be really just eating quote unquote perfectly as the world defines it, working out every single day for hours a day, doing all the things. And then I went through a whole phase where I realized that adding balance into my life, healing my relationship around wellness, around these different things, it is so beautiful. It makes life a lot more fun to live and a lot less restrictive and this pressure to always perform and be perfect. So that's a little bit about my journey. But yeah, lots of things I'm learning currently, especially in the pregnancy world.
Yeah. And that's like when we were getting ready for this episode to like talk to you guys, we were really thinking about like, okay, what's on both of our minds right now? And we both were like, we have even just recently like struggled with like, okay, what's restrictive about our health routine? Are we trying to be perfectionist about our health? Callie was talking about how her body's changing, like with this pregnancy, and that's been like a whole journey. And then for me, like a lot, if you listen regularly, you know, I have Hashimoto's, an autoimmune disease, and like my body's changed a lot in a year. And so we're just going to get into navigating that. So step one to that, Callie, how do you catch yourself? Like when you're finding yourself going down this perfectionist rabbit hole, because I find I actually catch myself really late in the rabbit hole. Like, I'm already in it. I'm already there. So for anyone who's listening who's like, oh, wait, this sounds like it might be me, what are some things, like, how you catch yourself kind of slipping into this perfectionist mindset?
That's a really good question. I think the first – I mean, there's different areas where I slip into it. So – one of them is the spiral that a lot of us are familiar with, the TikTok spiral or the Instagram
always
spiral.
The TikTok spiral.
The scrolling spiral. And it's really funny because I've actually become really aware of it recently. I'll have like a little voice in my head be like, you're getting distracted again, or like you need to stop. I just like have that voice in my head and I will straight up just literally throw my phone like across the bed or across the floor. I'm like, I'm done. And sometimes it just takes doing that to break out of it. I think the hardest thing, I mean, these apps are designed to suck us in. They're designed to be addictive. And they're also really, really intelligent in terms of knowing what you or me specifically are going through in our life, because they do track us and different things. So it's all designed to psychologically suck us in. So I think it is really important to, I recently learned this term for anyone who's listening, who's a content creator or likes to post things on social media, post and ghost. Literally post something, exit the app immediately, don't look at anything, and just continue on with your day. I think doing the whole, I mean, when you open the app, it's designed to immediately suck you in because it's going to put something right in front of you that's clickbaity, captivating, whatever it is. So really being on guard before you open the app. I think it's important to ask yourself, why am I going on this app right now? Check in with your mental health before you even do it. The other day I was having like the worst body image day. And of course I went on social media and it was just self-sabotage, frankly. Like, I think it's really a form of self-love to check in with ourselves before we go on something that is such a mind war when we're on social media. It doesn't have to, social media is not necessarily all bad, but you got to be on guard when you're on it and protect your eyes and make sure that like what you're consuming is life-giving stuff. It's not stuff that is going to feed those continued insecurities and belief systems and thought patterns that are weighing you down. So I think that's one thing that helps me a lot recently, is just being a lot more mindful when I'm on social media.
I think that's like the best tip, because we all know it and we all know that it happens, but that reminder, I find too, like in my luteal phase, so like after ovulation but before my period, I am just like way more susceptible to a lot of those things on social media of like, I'm not doing enough, I'm not like perfectly making these beautiful meals, or like I'm not always doing all these things. And so I find for me in my luteal phase, I love to read anyways, but I've really tried to replace like my scrolling time with like maybe a book or like something else. That has been like a game changer for my mental health around health.
That's such a good tip. And that also made me think about in your phone settings, I am not totally sure off the top of my head what the step-by-step process is, but if you just looked it up online, I'm sure it'll show you. You can actually turn your phone. So for example, if you click your phone like 3 times, this button, the power button, 1, 2, 3, it turns it to grayscale. And what this does is it makes it so much less addictive when you're looking at your phone in grayscale. It's a lot less stimulating. Shout out my husband for showing me that hack, because genuinely, the other day when I was on social media, like I had batched content in advance and I literally just got on social media, immediately posted it. I was that addictiveness, that temptation to go in this scrolling spiral. It's not even there because it's literally just gray and white. So that is something that also is really big. And it's funny you say that about the luteal phase, because when I was going through different phases before getting pregnant, literally the week before, I just could not be on social media. Same thing, exact same feelings. So interesting.
Yeah, so hack, like try to limit your screen time in your luteal phase, because it's just feels like so much more overwhelming to me. And then I think we were also talking about cycle syncing and, you know, nutrition. And it's really interesting because I've gone through my own journey with this, where like when I first started down this path, I was literally syncing every little food with every little phase and trying to be so perfect about it. And my therapist caught me and was like, hey girl, I think this might be like swapping one disordered eating pattern for another. And that's where I really leaned into this like intuitive cycle syncing with food, of like, what's my body craving, or just like understanding the nutrients that I need and kind of syncing it that way versus like trying to be perfect. I think that's why I also love seed cycling, because it's like I don't have to think about it. But with pregnancy, have you noticed any of that like craving? I don't know, like has it shifted at all with your pregnancy? Because it's like that's such a different phase than when you're cycling.
Yes, it has been a journey of itself. It's been really interesting because I've noticed that pregnancy has definitely pressed a lot of things out that I didn't work through prior to being pregnant, especially with food. So before I was even pregnant, in around like 2022, 2021-ish, I was struggling a lot with my relationship with food. I'll try to explain this. I don't know if it'll make sense, but I would get really anxious about meals. So for example, I worked a lot. I was working a full-time job at the time in public relations, and I also was working on building my online business at the same time. So I was working on like 12-hour days, and I found myself in this spiral of finding myself too busy to eat lunch, because I would just work through lunch naturally. I just worked really, really a ton. Like it was a little bit workaholic-y, but around this phase is when I started to struggle a lot with lunch in particular. I felt that I got anxious around not having enough time to make lunch. I struggled to figure out on the fly what I was eating. I was already really hungry. I was like, I don't know, like, what do I do? And so that just like food anxiety, that was something I didn't fully work through. I found it got a lot better if I had food in the fridge that was like Trader Joe's, for example, literal godsend, the pre-made stuff, so good for lunch. So I definitely found things that helped me a lot with that struggle to eat lunch in that time, and also dinner as well. Breakfast was never an issue. Breakfast have always been very much like, I feel like there's a lot of options. I either make yogurt bowls, eggs, whatever. So that was pretty easy for me during that phase. It was more lunch, dinner when I got really busy that I got really stressed with food. And I wanted to take care of my body, but I also was like, I have so much to do. You know, it's really interesting psychologically. But I struggled a lot with this. It kind of came back during the first trimester of pregnancy because I started to struggle a lot with food aversion. So especially with breakfast was a huge one for me, because breakfast was like my meal. That was my meal. I've always just, I've been really good at eating and cooking, and I didn't ever have issues with it. But then all of a sudden, I was finding myself eating a yogurt bowl, and I was like, this is making me feel really sick right now. And then I noticed that a lot of the morning sickness was coming from fear. So the fear of throwing up, the fear of feeling nauseous, and that caused a lot of food aversions to happen. I found it was very psychological for me, and it got tough during the lunch and dinner phase as well, because I already was struggling with that years ago. And then it came up when I was all of a sudden, things that I used to eat started sounding disgusting to me. It was like, okay, I have to figure out what to eat now. So long story short, is the way that I've really like been working on that, still work in progress, is meal prepping in advance. Not necessarily making the food, but planning out the food. So on the notes app, writing down, okay, here's what I'm going to make for breakfast. Here's what I'm going to make for lunch. Here's what I'm going to make for dinner. And then just setting myself up for success. So instead of, it's all so mental for me. If I know that I'm going to be eating salmon for dinner, for some reason, like I can eat it fine. But if it's on the fly, I'm already really hungry. Sometimes that things like don't sound good. It's so interesting. And I know everyone's different in pregnancy, but that's been my journey with it. So I say just setting myself up for success has been huge. And also like when those thought patterns come up, actually working through them, figuring out what triggered this, what caused it, where did this start? And instead of just shoving them to the side, that's been really helpful for me.
That is such good advice. Cause I was thinking as you were talking, I'm like, wait, this is something that I struggle with in so many of my clients, the food anxiety around meals. Everyone has a different meal the anxiety comes from, but actually breath work is something I work with a lot of my clients on when it comes to meals, because we were talking about Oura Rings when I was on your podcast. A lot of people, I have them check their Oura Ring. They'll have a spike of stress before a meal. And so I think this food anxiety that you're bringing up is actually a very, very like universal experience.
That's so interesting. I only knew one other person. I mean, I've only talked to one person about it, really, who also experienced it. But that's so interesting that you even see it on the Oura Ring. I believe it.
It's a real thing. And then I also love that you brought up having those pre-made meals in your fridge, like ready to go, because this is something I used to really struggle with. I'd be like so obsessed with ingredient lists and so obsessed with all these things that I would never buy those. And then I would end up hungry and skipping lunch, and then I'd be miserable. And my biggest aha moment was, oh my gosh, just eat the thing, like just feed your body. And I struggle with lunch now too, like, cause I'm always between the office and home, and there's this like Bonanza. It's like that chickpea pasta, cause I have celiac. They have this amazing mac and cheese. It's such an easy lunch. Yes. It is such an easy lunch. And I put Greek yogurt in it instead of milk, so it ups the protein intake. It's a game changer. First off, anyone listening, game changer. Because the Bonanza has a ton of protein in it already. And then I put Greek yogurt instead of milk. It makes it creamy and delicious and protein-packed. But I used to be really weird about, I'm not eating anything out of a package. And I realized, like, that is so mentally dangerous to, like, go down that road. So I also really like that you pointed out, like, just having those prepackaged things or having the things in your fridge, like, ready to go, or planning out the meals, like, sets you up for success. Like, 10 out of 10 for that tip.
That's such good advice on the mac and cheese, because you know what's funny is something that I my doctor told me this happens to a lot of women, and I don't want to like speak this over anyone, but because it may not happen for you if you're pregnant, but having aversion to meat apparently can happen a lot. I've experienced it. Not, it's so interesting. The body is so wild. Like some weeks I feel great. Other weeks it's like, oh, like I don't really want to eat any meat right now. And I was telling her about this because I'm like, I want to make sure I'm getting enough protein. I was eating a lot of carbs, a lot of fruits, like fruits and carbs. My like fave right now. But she was telling me that for some reason, she's noticed that trend. It's almost like pregnant women tend to crave a lot more fresh ingredients. So a lot more of like the fruits, the fresh vegetables, things like that. And she was recommending that I add in more chickpeas to my diet, more lentils. That's why I've been eating a ton of Greek yogurt lately, is because it's just so packed with protein. But it's so interesting, that whole fact that she told me, that was mind-blowing. But I love that.
That is so cool. And you know what's interesting? Like with the Metaversion, I do think it's almost all my friends who are pregnant at some point in their pregnancy have had like Metaversion, which is interesting. And so, yeah, that's like one protein packed lunch, and like it will fill you up and you will be like so happy after you have it. And so I think that's another thing about like trying to be perfect with food is like I have to make everything from scratch and everything has to be perfect and organic. And in reality, like you just need to feed your body. Like if it's causing you more stress, it's worse for you. The stress is the awful part, you know?
I think skipping a meal causes more stress to your body than eating something that's not quote unquote perfectly healthy. That's at least what I experienced.
That's how I feel. That's like my biggest epiphany with it. Now this like little mac and cheese is like my weekly staple.
Yeah, I love that. I also found too when I eat food, like there is so much power in what we believe. And so when I'm eating a meal, if I'm really meditating on negative thoughts about the food or about how I'm feeling, instead of focusing and shifting my thoughts to be more life-giving, positive thoughts of gratitude, like I'm really grateful for this food right now, I'm thankful that it's nourishing my body, rather than focusing and dwelling on the fear of will this make me feel sick right now, I find there's so much power in it. It's game-changing.
Our minds are crazy. I was listening to this podcast the other day and they did a research study about exercise, actually, and it applies to food too, though. People like sit and think about exercise and they had them like imagine they were actually doing the exercise and their body started like gearing up to do the exercise and they actually like got like benefits out of just sitting thinking about exercise, which like that was mind-blowing to me that our mind is like that powerful. But that's another tip that I work with a lot of my clients on and myself is like, okay, close your computer, take 3 breaths before you eat, like just kind of like getting in this mindset to eat. And especially like I have celiac, so I'm always stressed. I'm like, oh, is this gonna make me feel sick? Or like with you, like am I gonna have an aversion to this? Am I gonna feel bad? And it's so hard to not have those thoughts because you obviously had real experiences that have like made you have those thoughts. And so I think the breath before you eat is also a good tip.
Yeah, for sure. And even just taking those belief systems captive as well, just because it happened one time doesn't mean it's going to happen every single time. And really just like speaking the truth over yourself about different things. I think that's really powerful.
So tell us about exercise. Obviously, like you have a sweaty studio, you teach Pilates, like how has that changed and have you had to have a different approach to it during pregnancy?
Yes, it's changed so much. And it's funny because I mean, even in like quick little backstory about my just journey with fitness is I grew up being a competitive figure skater. So as an athlete, we had it was called off-ice training, which was just working out and getting stronger. So for me, fitness was about getting stronger for my on-ice performance. And then when I stopped competitive figure skating in college is when I like officially stopped really skating that much. It's really interesting because I know a lot of athletes have struggled with this transition as well of like, wait, how do I like function once I stop being an athlete? I shifted from, there's already like a lot of struggles around body image and stuff that came from being a figure skater and from other things in my life. But it was interesting because all of a sudden fitness turned into, I need to do this to look a certain way. I want to lose weight. I want to look skinny, all the things. All of a sudden, this thing that used to be really fun for me, that was a tool to get stronger for my skating, it became an obsession. And I would go to the gym and I thought that I had to do cardio for hours a day, all the things. I fell down that whole pattern that I know a lot of us have gone through with fitness. But anyways, I thankfully started teaching fitness and realized that a lot of my clients were a little older, maybe like in their 60s, and were doing, but I taught at Pure Bar. So they were doing bar because they loved it, because it helped their mental health, because it kept them strong. There were more reasons for working out than just doing it as a means to look a certain way. And that really put a lot of seeds in my mind. And I was like, oh, interesting. And as a result, I think during the pandemic is when I really started to shift my relationship around fitness. I saw it really did help a lot with anxiety, helped a lot with depression. It helped with just boosting my mood. And even yesterday, I was in a really bad mood and I was like upset. I took myself on a walk for 45 minutes around my neighborhood and listening to like my favorite music. And I got home and I was just in such a better mood. It was actually literally mind blowing. I was like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of power to movement. But during pregnancy, it's been interesting because I think I've been having to unlearn the all or nothing mindset a lot, having to release myself from any guilt, from any just feelings of I'm not doing enough if maybe I don't have enough energy that day to do a long workout, especially first trimester, feeling nauseous. Just the last thing I wanted to do a lot was exercise. And I filmed myself doing workouts. I teach live workouts. So it was really interesting. Also trying to listen to my body while teaching live workouts and modifying the classes specifically for abs. That's been the whole thing because I'm having to be like, okay, people will still love the workouts. They're still effective without a crazy intense Pilates abs on back section. Like, we're fine. So really modifying has been interesting. And then also making sure that I'm not afraid and having thoughts that are fearful when I'm working out, because I know there's so much stuff out there that's like, this will hurt your baby if you do it pregnant, like blah, blah, blah. There's just so much of that. But ultimately, I think just listening to my body, if a move feels weird, modify it. The baby's fine. It's not going to die because of one rep of a move. And I think also just releasing myself of any of that judgment around my body changing and like just letting go of all of that working out for to look a certain way. That's been a process.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you learned so much in 18 weeks. This is like, this little baby is already like teaching you so much.
For real, for real.
You're doing great. You're doing great. And you really have like kept up. Like, I've seen all your workouts and like, I love that you talked about like not having the all or nothing mindset, because I mean, I think that's like the root of what we're talking about today is like health isn't all or nothing. It's what works for you and like makes you happy. You would like this. I listened to this podcast. I can't remember what it was, but they were talking about like self-confidence and keeping promises to yourself and how the all or nothing mindset is like the absolute crusher of like joy and health and wellness, because it was saying like, okay, if I said to myself, I'm going to work out today, it doesn't mean you have to work out for 3 hours. You could go on a 5-minute walk. You could do like a 5-minute workout video. You could do 5 squats. Like, it was just saying like the all or nothing mindset is truly like the killer of like true longevity and health, because, and then every time we are just like, okay, if we can't do it all, we're not going to do anything. And we like break the promise to ourselves. It like hurts our own self-confidence. So it's also like, and it was saying like too, like, or like truly acknowledging like I actually do need to rest. So this is my exercise for the day, is I'm taking a nap or like whatever it is, just like retraining your brain. I feel like that's exactly what you were saying, is like not having that all or nothing mindset.
Yeah, that's so good. My husband was asking me the other day, he was wanting to get into making a little workout plan for himself. And he asked me like, what are your tips for like staying consistent with this? Genuinely, I have found in my life, starting so small, like start where you know for a fact that you are going to accomplish it, because it's like building that trust with yourself. So if you are not working out at all right now, challenge yourself to work out for 10 minutes once a week. Literally just start there. If you do more, great. But the goal is to just do that thing, prove to yourself that you can do it, and then add on. And if you have a week where you challenge yourself to 4 workouts a week and you only do, or not only, I don't use that word, and you do 3 workouts that week, maybe bump it back down to 3 for the next week, and then show yourself that you can do 3 workouts, and then try again to add on to 4. Because it's ultimately like, you're just working with your life, you're working with yourself, because life is busy sometimes, and having a 7 or a 6 day workout plan out of the gates when you are not already doing that in your life can be so much. I don't work out 6 days a week usually. I'm usually more of like a 4 workout kind of girl.
Yeah, same. And like, I'm like, so I love to run, but it's something I had a complicated relationship with in the past. So like, I haven't done it in a long time. So I'm like slowly getting back into it. And I've been doing like, okay, I'm going to do two. Well, first I did 1 10-minute run a week, and that's like, I built it up. Then I started doing 2 10-minute runs a week. Then now I'm doing 1 12-minute run and 2 10-minute runs. So like, I think like, honestly, like the older I get, the more I'm just like, wow, the art of just like meeting yourself where you're at and being honest with yourself and like really, and like I'm actually really enjoying it versus like you said, if I would have been like, I'm gonna run 7 days a week, 45 minutes, I would have been one, I wouldn't have done it. Two, it would have been so unenjoyable. I probably would have hurt myself. I don't even know if I could have done that. And three, like, it's just not what my body needs. Like, it's just so crazy.
Yeah. I've also found too, I mean, I love this quote. I mean, comparison is a thief of joy. I think when we compare ourselves to our past selves or people we see on social media and see what they're doing, instead of just working with where we are in the present moment, that is when our joy is really stolen and when we feel unfulfilled and unsatisfied and feel like we're not doing enough.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, well, thank you for coming on here and like being honest and like vulnerable. And also, like, Callie shares all this on her Instagram too. Like, I've learned so much about pregnancy just like through following you too. Like, you post all these like little updates and like they're very real. And so thank you for coming on and kind of really debunking this like all or nothing mindset. But where can people find you and like how can they, honestly, guys, her Pilates workouts are awesome, because if you're like me and you like to work out at home, I do all my Pilates at home now because I'm on that budgeting life where we're like working out at home. Actually, if you're watching the video, I got one of these sticky things for the back of my phone. Yep, I'll do your videos. I'll like stick it to my window or like I have like a glass door. I stick it to that and I put my mat in front of it and then I do the videos and I like feel like I'm in like a little live class with you. So that's like a hack. But where can people find how to access like Sweaty Studio platform, all of your classes, your Instagram? Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, I love that so much that you do that. I also, do you have like the little sticky things all over your windows? Because I do.
Yeah. My husband was like, what are these sticky things all over the windows? Is this like a type of bug? And I was like, no, it's literally like my phone and it makes that noise it just made every time I put it on the counter. But it is seriously so, that little sticky thing on the back of the phone, so helpful for like me at the gym and like working out.
Yeah, it's like $5 too on Amazon. It's great. Best little hack.
Link the sticky thing for you guys for the back of your phone.
I think it's called an Octobuddy. That's what mine's called.
Mine was like $5 on Amazon. I don't know. Mine's called a sticky grippy.
Oh, different brand, competing brands. Anyways, you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok at Callie Gwally. And then I have my podcast is Healthy But Human. It's a lot of kind of similar conversations where it's very just like your FaceTime and your best friend kind of combos. I talk a lot about my faith and wellness and all that there. And then also my studio is Sweaty Studio. I have, if you look it up on the App Store, it's on the iOS App Store, Google Play, and also the website's just sweatystudio.com. I also just lowered the prices for the studio, so it's a lot more accessible now. If you're balling on a budget and you want to work out, it's like, if you really do the math, it's $19.99 a month. So it's probably like comes down to cents per day, which is definitely, Pilates can be a little inaccessible. So I wanted to make it accessible. So that's a little update for you. And we have the Pilates workouts, blend affirmations with the workouts. And we have monthly challenges. There's cycle syncing on there as well. So if you like to cycle sync your workouts with your cycle, we have that. And I think that's about it for where I am. But yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm honored. And go check out Kate on my podcast too. We talk about cycle syncing foods and all seed cycling, all the things.
Yeah, we had a really fun conversation. So thank you so much for coming on. Thank you all for listening. If you like this episode, leave a review, leave a comment, share it with somebody. It's the best way for new people to find us and us to be able to grow and keep doing this. But thank you for listening and we'll see you next week.